podcasters, live streamers, content creators in general need to do is, first of all, drop your expectations. Nothing, absolutely zero, nada, happens overnight. It's you're not going to put out a show and it's going to be as big as John Lee Dumas, or it's not going to be as big as Serial or This American Life.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 77, with the founder of Ripka Media and host of Raw and Real, Chris CJ Ripka.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Thrilled to have you guys here, and my name, in case you're not familiar with it, is JC Preston. I'm founder of New Inceptions and your host for today's session. I'm part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping people find their own personal freedom. And in this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This session is brought to you once again by Fizzle.co. And if you're looking to create a business and live a life on your own terms, then there's no better place to go than Fizzle for your support. The staff over there has done it. In fact, they're still doing it. And they know that the road is difficult. You know, it's possible, amazing, but difficult. And that's why they exist, to do what they do. Now, if you want to go and get some real in-depth guidance to create your business or make your existing business fun again, or maybe you just want to get your creative project off the ground with a chance it could earn you some extra money, then they have just what you need. And it's not a course. It's a bunch of courses and a roadmap and a forum of other individuals who are just like you and are all moving in the direction you want to go. It's difficult to do the thing that you're trying to do, but it's amazing when you live life on your own terms. I wouldn't promote it as much as I did if I didn't believe in what it could do for you guys. And remember, your first 5 weeks are on them. You know, that's 5 weeks for free. So you can get in, figure out what it's all about. You can start your own membership at any time and take a break as well, paying only when you need the help. And that means if you can only afford a couple of months at the beginning, and then all of a sudden you have to pay for an unexpected bill, that's fine. You can re-up at any time you want, and it's just a flat rate of $35 a month. You know, that's a little over a dollar a day. And to learn more about Fizzle.co and to start your 5 weeks free, you can go on over to newinceptions.com/fizzle. That's newinceptions.com/fizzle. And, you know, don't fizzle out, don't burn out. Instead, make steady progress towards life on your own terms. And again, that's newinceptions.com/fizzle. All right. In today's session, we're taking a deep dive into podcasting. And as you'll find out from in the show, CJ has always been involved with media and has developed a big passion for it. And, you know, as podcasting has become more prominent in the general population, there's been more of an interest in the topic, what it is, where it come from, and what's the future of this media in the next couple of years. Outside of getting to know Chris himself, we'll be discussing these topics, and more particular, we'll be discussing his thoughts on where podcasting came from, because there's actually some debate in that, key thoughts that make a podcaster successful, and some ways you can build your own audience as a podcaster. Show notes are available at newinceptions.com/77, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here with today's guest, Chris Ripka. Chris, who goes by CJ on his podcast, Raw and Real. Chris is a podcaster, blogger, live streamer, and public speaker, and he's founder of Ripka Media Group, home of the Saloon No. 7 Studios. Chris has worked with numerous big names in the audio and visual world over the years. And in fact, that's what we're really going to be diving into a bit today is the history of podcasting and some of the things that he's been involved with in the past. So without further delay, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. And first of all, thank you very much, JC, for having me on your show. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, definitely a pleasure and always good to have another podcaster on whenever I can. So, but yeah, man, really glad to know that we're here. And one of the things that, you know, when we first met, you totally blew me away about all your knowledge of podcasting and media in general. And that's one of the things that, you know, I really am looking forward to talking about today. But before we get to that, I mean, how did you get to know so much about media? Did you start off like in high school making movies or what? Where'd you get started?
Well, in high school, I was kind of that floater. I just kind of bounced in and out of all these different groups. And one of the things that I noticed is all the athletic events that we had going on, you know, theater, drama, you know, the drama club and everything like that. Nobody was recording any of this information. So I decided that I would go to the principal and ask him if I could, you know, start videotaping, you know, because it was back in the day of VHS and all that kind of good stuff. So I asked him if I could start videotaping some of these things. And he said, yeah, go for it. If you want to play with all that equipment that's been sitting there dormant for a while, you know, just go ahead and figure it out. And nope, there was no teachers to actually show me how to use it. So I really had to rely on just, you know, manuals and videos and like, you know, the old video on the projector. That's how I learned how to shoot video and how to frame scenes and everything like that.
Wow. So there wasn't any like high school TV channel or anything?
No, wow. Nothing like that at that time. Wow. No.
Wow. So no TV channel. And did you have a radio? Did you guys have a radio station at all?
No radio station either. That's it's one of those things. The closest thing we had to a radio station was our morning announcements when the principal would come on and tell us what we were having for lunch that day.
Wow. And so you grew up in where? Where were you originally from?
Well, I'm originally from Minnesota. I grew up in a small town called Pipestone, Minnesota, which has got about 1,300 people. So it wasn't a very technically advanced community, if that makes any sense.
Right. Huh. Well, yeah, it's just kind of funny to me because I know that we had a radio station in our high school. And I got to tell you, man, like one of the songs that was played all the times was, Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back. And it's just like, it's like, really, guys? It's like three times today. And then there was a couple of other things that they would play on the radio. It was like Rammstein songs. And so if you actually understood German, you know, that's swearing all the time. It's just like, well, you know, hey, at least they're getting their big shot. But yeah, so I mean, so did you grow up in a creative household then? Or I mean, where did you get this interest in doing this kind of work?
Well, it's funny you say that because my dad worked for the railroad, so there wasn't a whole lot of interaction with my father. My mother, on the other hand, was a photographer, so there was some creativity going on there.
Okay.
However, my interest actually got in all this stuff was from acting. I would go to drama classes. I would do some modeling for different artists, for different photographers, things like that. I would do some short films for local independent people, but I never really got into it myself until later on. So everything that I kind of came up through was all through going through like the John Casablanca School of Modeling and Acting, going to, you know, community theater troops and doing a little bit of work with them. But, yeah, as far as the audio and video aspect of it, I really didn't come into it really full circle until I got into the military and started working with the public affairs department.
Oh, wow. Another military guy on the podcast. I had no idea, Chris. Wow. Wow. So which branch were you in?
I was in the Army National Guard.
Okay. Yeah. Maria's still in it. So I'm quite accustomed to the life there. But what was your MO or MOS?
Well, my MOS was actually 11 Bravo Infantry. Mm-hmm. However, in the National Guard, you have opportunities where you can work full time for the National Guard. And I answered this ad about a public affairs representative, and they asked me if I knew anything about video production. I said, yeah, I did a little bit in high school. They said, okay, great. You're our state video production engineer.
Wow. Wow. Talking about and taking the reins, like, geez, well, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's just, you know, that's one of the things that I think that the military offers is that if you, you know, it's kind of a hands-on school. It's like, here you go, man, because we don't have anybody. And it's just kind of like, to me, I've noticed with Maria's situation, you know, there's this lack of, there's a lot of one kind of people, you know, one kind of individual, like, you know, doing one thing, but a lot of times it will be a complete lack of like specialists. So yeah, you saying that you had that background, I'm sure was very like, oh yeah, let's have them do that.
And you know, the interesting part is they actually have a public affairs unit here in Rapid City where I was at. Mm-hmm. And, none of the people that were in that unit wanted this job. And I didn't know for the life of me why they wouldn't want them. You'd think if this is what they're doing in the military, this is what they would want to do full time. I didn't realize the workload that was going to go into being a video producer for the South Dakota National Guard. It was insane. The travel, I had to learn how to edit on a completely new system. I had to learn how to put together interviews, and I had to learn how to do all this stuff, one-stop shop, kind of like what we do in podcasting. You know, we're our own producers, and that's what I had to learn how to do for them,
right,
at a high level right away.
Wow. So there wasn't any hurry up and wait for you, sounds like.
No, it was hit the ground running and hope you don't mess this up.
You know, you're starting to talk about podcasting there. I mean, how did you find your own spark to get started with that?
To be honest with you, that whole spark of podcasting has always been something that's interested me. Well, I guess I shouldn't say podcasting itself interested me. Radio has always been something that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I never really had the opportunity to get much into radio, but once I did, once I found that outlet of recording audio and putting it out there as an audio blog, it really kind of set the stage for what became podcasting for me.
Mm. And I mean, you have almost studied this like as kind of like a passion, really, because, you know, again, the first time that we talked, you started dumping all these tidbits of information on me, and I had, you know, I love, you know, I'm the kind of a background and listening to, politics and I've said a number of times that my morning show when I listen to the radio is Glenn Beck, and you know, I just some of the mannerisms and things compared to what he does and what his staff will do for that show versus what you'll hear like on FM. It's completely two different kinds of art forms. And yeah, so just paying attention to radio in general is just really interesting. And how do you think that goes to connecting to what we're, you know, what we're seeing in podcasting in the early days?
Well, if you look at the history of radio, for example, there were so many people that had their signature on radio. I mean, to sit there and say that Marconi created radio or Tesla created radio or whoever you want to talk about created radio, you'd be right and you'd be wrong all at the same time. It was kind of a conglomeration of all these different people. Same thing with podcasting. When we start looking at it, podcasting actually traces its roots back to 1979 when things really kind of started getting going with the radio computing services and moving up through the 80s and how they made it available for programmers to be able to schedule their promos and jingles and their music lineup and everything like that. Through that RCS or that radio communication services, that kind of brought us into the 90s with the whole internet protocol content, which was kind of the predecessor to putting audio and video files out there for other people within your network, your own personal network, to be able to download and listen to or watch as they needed to. Mm-hmm. So that was really kind of the initial birthplace, if you will, of what became podcasting.
Gotcha. So one thing I just recently saw not too long ago is the difference between how they had to do something back then for, say, the radio versus what they have to do now. I mean, now it's just, you know, digital files that you just kind of put into a playlist and it's just boom, 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 no problem. I saw a YouTube video and it makes sense. I mean, but I never really thought about it because back then I wasn't really paying attention as much as I am now. But they had a video of this guy that was like really like a freaking pro expert of running tape through, right? And he's like running. And he's like slows it, speeds it up. And, you know, it's really, really fast. And he's listening to it. And then backs it up. And then kind of runs it through. And then that's where he splices it. And that's where he puts like the, you know, some sort of ad or some sort of... maybe it's the jump to the on-site interview or something
That was all linear editing.
Yeah.
What they called linear editing at the time. Yeah.
That is so, so different than what they do today. But
Now, if you look at what we have now, we have what's called non-linear editing. So we have everything on a soundtrack, which is the same as what they had. They had a soundtrack. And then we go in and we use our cut tool and we cut that spot. We go to the next output and we cut that spot. We yank that piece out. We plug in what we want. It's the same concept. It's just we're not using our hands. We're using a mouse.
Right. Right. Yeah. And to me, it's just kind of cool to look at how things were done then as well. But I like old stuff. One of the things that I also wanted to ask, where did the name podcasting come from? Did you recall?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of differences of opinion on this whole podcasting thing. A lot of people will say that, well, when iTunes came out with iTunes 4.0 and Apple released the iPod, that's when the term podcast came out. Well, that would be wrong. There was a French tech writer back in the early days in 2003. And he was the one who gave the name podcast to the media that we listen to now. Mm-hmm. So it's really one of those things that in 2003, everything was called an audio blog. And then this guy's writing about audio blogs and he puts podcast in and then the term sticks. So...
do you think that's where the actual name for iPod came from? Because back then that was, you know, it was iTunes and whatever.
I wouldn't doubt it. The whole thing, Steve Jobs, he was very instrumental in putting this device out there. He wanted to have that device that he could hold in the palm of his hand and be able to just scroll through and listen to digital files whenever and however he wanted to. So for him, I have no doubt that he was one of these people that read tech journals from all over the world to see what was coming up, what the trends were, where everything was heading to. He was just that kind of guy, absolutely brilliant. So it's not a very far stretch to the imagination to say that he saw that word podcast and he thought, I'll create the iPod.
Yeah. 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 Well, and you know, he was just like, you know, what if we had this thing called the iPod? And people around the table are like, yeah, Steve, totally. Okay. I don't know if I would have been one of those yes, sir, or one of those yes, sir kind of guys, but that just kind of struck me as interesting over the years. Still on podcasting, though, I mean, just kind of go a little bit forward into time here. And, you know, let's look at, say, the late 2000s. Podcasting has been around at that point, and you know, it still isn't something that many people listen to even today. I think we're up to what 50,
15% of the total population lucky that might have heard about a podcast?
Well, I think it's getting a little bit bigger. The last numbers that I saw were from 2015. Mm-hmm. So 2016 numbers aren't in yet. 2016, we saw a huge surge in podcast listeners, as well as live streaming and things like that. Because of live streaming, a lot of podcasters kind of started putting themselves out there in a different way. Mm-hmm. So now I think you're going to see a much bigger percentage of the population listening to podcasts.
Okay.
But moving forward, going from 2001 to 2004, where it was still audio blogs, and then in 2005, when Apple introduced iTunes version 4.9, that's when podcasting really stepped out of the shadows. And literally overnight, podcaster or audio bloggers turned podcaster were seeing a jump in listeners. I mean, it wasn't like one or two, it was like hundreds. And at this time, there was only about 24 or 26 different podcasts that were out there on iTunes. Mm-hmm. So when they released, it was like an overnight jump from getting maybe 10 or 15 people listening to getting 10 and 15,000 people listening.
Eek. Yeah, it was definitely a gold rush. I mean, are there any particular shows that you can think of that are still around from that time? I mean, because one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of podcasts will kind of pass, like they'll start and then they'll maybe do like, I don't know, 100 shows max, 150 shows max, and then they'll just disappear. I mean,
it's funny you say that, because I don't see a whole lot of podcasts that are still there, but there are still some of the podcasters that are still there. People like Gary Leland, Cliff Ravenscraft, Dave Jackson, those guys that were there at the beginning that really kind of brought their shows. There's shows come, shows go. I mean, we get sick and tired of doing the same show over and over. So eventually something will evolve, but we don't want to stop doing what we're doing. So we just create a new show. So the shows themselves, most of them have gone away. They're lost to time. You can probably find them if you look for them. But at the same time, the podcaster themselves, people like to say content is king. And in radio and in television, that was so true. But now in today's media, really it's the podcast or it's the content creator that's king, because they always keep innovating and creating new content. And even though that content is the heart and soul of what we're doing, but the creator, without that creator, we've really lost the art, we lost the science.
So is that what you think that is why people are drawn to the live streaming today?
I think so. It's putting a face to the voice. Mm. People want to know what that person, I'll be honest with you. The first time that I saw what Ray Ortega looked like, I was blown away. I mean, it was insane. I had a completely different vision of what he looked like. And the same thing goes with radio personalities. The first time I started seeing what these radio personalities look like, I was blown away. Like Glenn Beck, I'd been listening to Glenn Beck for years, but then the first time I actually saw him on video, I was like, oh my God, this is Glenn Beck. So that not what I expected him to look like.
right. Yeah, no, and just, I can't not put a face with his voice anymore, but yeah, I don't remember what I would have thought of him looking like. Yeah, that's something. Now that you mention it, then the thing is for me, I tend to produce this show still in audio format. And the reason being for that is because for me, the way I listen, I must be in the minority, because the only time that I listen to podcasts is when I'm driving my car or mowing the yard, To me, I just haven't gotten into the whole live streaming thing as much as I guess I could, but I don't know. Just my personal view on that.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I listen to more podcasts than I watch live streams. It's just the convenience is still the thing that sells it for me. The fact that I can pop something in, plug it into my ears, and just go, I'm okay with that. Whether I'm at the gym, I'm driving in the car, whatever the case is, I'm listening to a podcast. So
yeah. Okay. So I'm not the only one. Good to hear.
It's a very user-friendly consumable media.
Yeah. So what are some other trends that you're starting to see in podcasting today?
Well, I think you're going to start seeing the different niches starting to dissolve. And the reason why I say that is because of the way people are consuming media. You're going to see more podcasters that are trying to split the gaps, if you will, trying to capture a larger audience, a wider audience, just by maybe not so much going by a specific niche, but looking for a target market audience.
Mm. Okay. So, like, I, for example, one of the things that I can think of right off the bat is that a lot of there's a kind of a blurred line between business and self-improvement, it seems like to me.
That's a perfect example right there. That's, in fact, that's one I was kind of thinking of when you started talking, is that business and self-help, they really do match really well together. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those areas I think you're going to see an explosion in coming forward, because a lot of people are looking for that one key element that's going to help move them, maybe not just for entrepreneurs, but even in their day-to-day jobs. You know, what's something that I can do differently about myself that can help me maybe get to that next promotion, or maybe show up better and produce better for my job? So those podcasts are really kind of the heart and soul of podcasting at this time.
Cool. Well, it's definitely going to be an interesting next couple of years, because it just blows me away of, like, again, some of the talents that I thought were going to be around for a while, and then they drop off, or, you know, people that will just suddenly drop on, say, YouTube or on iTunes, and they just take off because they're doing something completely different. And one person that comes to mind that I know that you're familiar with is Brian Fanzo, who, like, when they started doing what was it, Periscope, and before that you had Meerkat, like, mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was at all, and he comes on Meerkat, does the Periscope, and then he starts doing Blab when Blab was a thing for all of a year, maybe.
Yep. And I think it was even a full year.
Yeah. And the thing was, is that now he's just kind of, especially when it comes to live streaming, you know, he's just really well known, because that's he just did as many live stream things that he could possibly, you know, do. And there you go. So now he's just followed by a lot of people. Let's kind of talk about how someone can, you know, be maybe the next Brian or Chris or Pat or whoever. I mean, what are some of the ideas that, you know, maybe they've already gotten their show started, so they've already, you know, looked at beginner's material, so now they're kind of like an intermediate podcaster. What are some things that they could possibly do in tweaking their show, or, you know, just actually going out and you know, doing promotions and getting more audience?
Well, the first thing that they really need to do, and this is the top three things, let's just put it that way, the top three things that podcasters, live streamers, content creators in general need to do is, first of all, drop your expectations. Nothing, absolutely zero, nada, happens overnight. It's you're not going to put out a show and it's going to be as big as John Lee Dumas, or it's not going to be as big as Serial or This American Life or Brian Fanzo or whoever, or Pat Flynn. It's not going to get that big overnight. These guys spent years tuning in their craft and generating content that is going to attract an audience. The second thing that you really need to do, and this is something that I failed to do early on, but once I did do it, my show just went from zero to hero very rapidly. I mean, I'm talking over the course of a year, it went from not getting anything, any downloads, any listeners, to getting into the thousands of listeners and downloads. And that's, get a mentor. Find somebody that's willing to work with you and help you get to that next level. Maybe it's your cadence. Maybe it's the way you're talking about certain things. I mean, whatever it is, get a mentor. It's there's people out there who would be more than happy to share the information that they've acquired over the years of doing this, doing whatever media that it is, like podcasting or live streaming. That's so important. And the third thing, the final thing, don't worry about monetization. Don't worry about growth or growing huge audience numbers. Just have fun. When you have fun with what you're doing, I guarantee you all the other stuff will fall into place. But, you know, to get more in depth with what you're asking, you know, I want to go back to finding that mentor. You really need to have somebody to help you tweak those sounds and the things that you need, whether it be you need help promoting it or whatever. These people have been around. They know what they're doing. They've tried pretty much everything under the sun. There really isn't anything new. So for someone to say, hey, I've got this one new thing that you need to promote your podcast, they're full of it. I'm just saying that they are completely blowing smoke up your booty, and they're going to do whatever they can to sell you something.
You mentioned Cliff Ravenscraft, for example, right? Yep. How many people that listen to Pat Flynn have any idea who Cliff Ravenscraft is? Probably not the entire audience, I would say it that way. But guess what? Cliff was actually on FSPI podcast session five, right? Early on. I wonder who's Pat's mentor was when he was first beginning, you know?
Exactly.
So it's just, yeah, total. There's definitely total proof there and what Chris is saying. And as far as some of the tips and tricks, I know that you've made a few posts and some of the mutual podcast groups that we have in common. What are some ways that, you know, people can actually like even build an audience if they're, you know, struggling?
Well, don't wait until after your show to promote your show. Start promoting early. If you're doing a weekly podcast, start telling people about that, you know, on Monday, and you're releasing on Friday. Talk to people about your podcast all week long. And when you're out in public and you're with friends or whatever, people ask you, what do you do? Don't just jump into your job. Talk about your passions. So if your podcast is your passion, that's really what you should be telling people about. If someone comes up to me and says, hey, what do you do? I'm telling them, well, I'm the host of a Raw and Real. I interview interesting people and hope to inspire and motivate people. My job is really irrelevant. That's just what makes my money. But the podcast is what I'm passionate about. And that's what people really want to know about, is what you're passionate about.
So yeah, speaking of Raw and Real, what are some of the more interesting guests that you've had on there?
All of them. To be honest with you, each person has brought so many unique, different styles and quirks about them. I just had a guy on for the third time, and his name is Dr. Rob Garcia, and he was one of my first interviews that I ever did with Raw and Real. And the first time he came on the show, he was very nervous because it was his very first show. He had never been on a podcast. He'd never been on radio. He'd never been on television, nothing. Well, then the second time I had him come on, he tried to bulldoze my show. He had an agenda and he went after it. And I got to give him credit for going for it, but he really had his notes ready and he wanted to keep going. No matter what I asked him, he went back to his note page and just kind of went with it. Now this third time I had him on, it was the very first time he'd ever been on live stream. So it was kind of back to that episode where the first episode where he's on, where he was kind of nervous. He didn't know how he was going to show up. But before the show, I told him, hey, look, you're not going to do what you did the last time. I'm not going to let you bulldoze the show. Just follow my lead and everything will be fine. And the show ended up being probably the best show that he'd ever done. But since then, he has been on literally hundreds of radio, television, and podcasts promoting what he does. So he took the time to actually credit me for teaching him how to get on shows and be guests on shows and stuff like that, which was very nice of him. But to be honest with you, the guy is an amazing guy. His story is absolutely phenomenal.
Sounds like someone I should be looking for, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Cool. Let's go to, how are we doing on time? We're good. So moving forward here, you know, you've got your show established, you're getting some things done. Sounds like you're going to be pretty darn busy in a not too distant future. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to doing this next year?
Wow. You know, to be honest with you, I'm really trying to get into the producing aspect of it more so than the talent aspect. I've got another show that's releasing here today, and it's a 7-step series by Saloon 7 Studios. And it's really going to be doing exactly what it says. I mean, it's 7 steps for interviewing for successful podcasting. I wrote a book earlier last year talking about the 7 steps for successful podcasting. And that's kind of that area is something I'm trying to go into a little bit more. But the things I'm most excited about is producing other shows, helping people put content out there without having to worry about how it looks visually or how it sounds audibly. And that's kind of the goal of Ripka Media in 2017.
Awesome. Awesome. And generally going to be with doing their own podcasts, own YouTube videos, all of it. What? Anything specific? All of it.
Okay. Whatever, however they want to show up. If they want to show up as live video, I can help them with that. We can do live events, so produce live events, go to your city, set up the camera system, set up the lighting, set up the audio, and then just let you go and do what you do best.
Awesome. Well, definitely look forward to your behind the scenes sort of progression there. That'll be cool. All right. So as we're kind of heading towards the final stretch here, we always end up with the rapid fire question segment. And this is 5 questions, kind of rounding you out as an individual. And, you know, when people are thinking of Chris, you know, they kind of you, they'll be thinking, you know, this is who you are. And they'll probably think more to these questions because these are the more common questions. And so the first one that I really like asking, and it's because we haven't quite dabbed on it yet, who are 3 influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you are today?
Okay, so 3 influencers that really kind of put me where I'm at is the first one would be my first sergeant, my old first sergeant, First Sergeant Schrage. And the name is one, just the name alone is kind of gets a smile out of anybody's face. But he was really about hard work. I mean, he was that, if you can imagine those old first sergeants from the Vietnam era, just those rough, tough guys that just in your face, but at the same time, when you had a problem, you could go to him and he would sit down, listen to your problem, and then help you work through it and solve that problem. It's that guy there. He really was a huge influence on me. Second person that was very influential on me for just reaching out and going after the things that I wanted was probably, you know, my mom. She had always asked those questions like, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? You know, and then she would always be so supportive and telling me, just go after it, go after it. So I got to give her a lot of credit there. But then the last person that has been most influential on me above all of these guys is my wife, Corinne. She has given me so many opportunities to just go out and really go after the things that I need. She's the one who literally told me to get off my butt and start podcasting again after I had an injury that put me out of podcasting for almost a year. Mm. I was down. I was depressed. And she was the one that said, hey, get back in the studio, set your equipment up, and start doing it again. So that for that, you know, she has definitely inspired me and motivated me to be where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps to have that nice, understanding, significant other, because for creatives to have to spend energy, you know, fighting their, you know, whoever they're with, versus actually pursuing their dream. It just, I give kudos to those who can pull it off, but I know I wouldn't be able to do it. So yeah, it's good to have that wife that supports you. That's for sure. What is the hardest thing that you've ever had to say no to?
Oh, my kids, my daughters, they know how to just dig that little button. I don't know what it is. I think their mother taught them these tricks or something. I don't know. But they are definitely the two people in my life that it's just next to impossible to say no to.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't know yet, but I can understand. Cool. If every entrepreneur was given a guide to being a creative, and this was a handbook that was given to them on their first day, was brutally honest, and was accompanied by illustrations, what would be something you'd find in it?
Oh, man, it would have to say, don't take yourself serious. Things, you know, entrepreneurs tend to take themselves very serious. They think that they are the next saving grace of whatever it is that they're selling or offering. And, you know, when they fail, that tends to destroy them. So I would say, you know, you'd see probably a cartoon of, you know, something, you know, someone banging their head against a computer because they take themselves too seriously.
Why won't it work? Oh, that's good. Good. What advice do you hear adults giving children often that you call BS on?
Do as I say, not as I do. Here's the thing. As adults, as parents, we need to set an example in our actions, and our words and our actions need to align. And our children see that. They see our actions more so than they see or hear our words. Where they say something like 70% of communications through body language. So we need to call BS on that whole saying. Don't, it's not a do as I say, not as I do. You need to be that example that they can do as you do.
And I think actions do speak louder than words. So I'm right there with you. How can someone be a difference maker in their community?
Show up. Really, that's all you got to do is show up. If there's an event, go. Introduce yourself to the event coordinators and people and ask them, you know, what can I do to help you? What can I do to support this? With a podcast, I've done this several times over the course of the last year, especially, where people have lost their homes to fire or whatever. And I've gone out to those event coordinators and said, how can I support this? And I've live streamed these events and helped them raise their money. So if you want to be part of your community, just go out. If you have a podcast or you have a live stream, make yourself available to them.
Cool. And don't think you're too serious or too big in the meantime to go out and actually do that, right?
Yeah, never take yourself too serious. Never take yourself, think you're bigger than you are. There's no such thing as internet fame. There's no such thing as podcast famous. Just go out there, be you, and you know, let your community decide who you are.
Awesome. Okay, so last question here. We talked previously about intermediate podcasters and, you know, things that they can actually do to improve their show or, you know, just have better luck, so to speak. What are some other tips as we're, you know, that you would tell those people are the, you know, three or four next things that they need to do as we're leaving here?
The first thing I would suggest is go over to ripcomedia.com and go into the freebies tab and download 7 steps for successful podcasting. In that, I literally lay down 7 ways where you can show up in your podcast and just knock it out of the park. The second thing I would say is talk to everybody. Get involved in groups. Get involved on Twitter. And don't be afraid to ask the big fish to come onto your show. It doesn't matter if you've got 1 episode or 100 episodes. You talk to whoever you want to talk to. Get them on your show or talk about whatever you want to talk about. Create the show that you personally would like to listen to. All this talk about avatars is a bunch of baloney. If you create the show that you would like to listen to, you're going to have other people that like to listen to it too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. And you know, the thing is that, you know, that whole speak of avatars, niche marketing is, I've talked about this before. There's a thing called, there's a difference between niche marketing and finding a niche, right? And what you're talking about is finding a niche. I don't know if you can really do that, but with niche marketing is learning how to, you know, again, take who you are, take what you have to offer, and figuring out a way of making a bridge to the audience. And I think if you can do that, then you're going to be good to go. Where can people find you if they need more help around the web? You know, where's the easiest way to get a hold of you?
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of me is just go to ripkamedia.com. I've got all the links to my social media right there. And you can also email me directly from the site, and I will answer your emails typically within, you know, 1 to 2 days. It used to be 1 to 2 hours, but for some reason, I've got a mass flood of emails recently. So trust me, I will get back to you. I promise.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks so much for coming on the show today, and definitely appreciate the time.
JC, it has been a pleasure to be on your show, man. I'll be honest with you. I've been actually waiting to get on your show for quite a while now, so it's been such a pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity.
And there you go, guys. Really glad that you were able to join Chris and myself today. You know, he's a great guy that can definitely answer any questions you might have in producing your own show, whether it's a podcast or a stream show on Facebook Live. Show notes for this session are on newinceptions.com/77. And if you want to keep the conversation going, show note extras are the thing for you. The first two are a couple of interviews that Chris did that I thought did a great job illustrating how his show has progressed to what it is today. He had mentioned that Robert Garcia has been on his show a few times, so I have the first and the third one available there for you. I also have a couple of interviews of his as well, if you're interested to hear more about him personally. The first is with Dennis Langelius of the Five-Minute Bark podcast. And then the second is a great interview with Eddie Lazzari, who's the host of the Change Your POV Point of View podcast. In that interview, they discuss life after the Army and how they both struggled to land on their feet afterwards. Both of these interviews give you another side of Chris that I wasn't able to actually capture on my interview and this session. So that's about it for Session 77, gang. Again, thanks for checking us out. We really appreciate it. If you could leave some feedback for us, you can go on over to iTunes and leave a review there. Really, really appreciate those. Or you can send us emails via directly our email address at heyguys@newinceptions.com. Coming up next week is kind of an in-house conversation. Contributor Clay Green joins me for his Silver Edition interview. And as some of you might know, he's been traveling around the country and in his new huge luxury trailer. If you haven't seen it, I'll be sure to get you some videos of that because he loves that thing. But, you know, he's just been living life out on the road. And, you know, his travel started up in Portland, Oregon. So in the podcast, he shares some of the experiences he's had on his trek and how that's all going and really some vital tactics that he has been able to utilize to get to where he's at today and doing exactly what he does, you know, the traveling and coaching people from the road. And some of that includes what he calls the three habits. So join us next week as we catch up and find out what those three habits are. And again, that's all there is to Session 77. Thanks for joining Chris and myself. And until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next week.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.